T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Coach Pat and Spo do a good job of picking those guys, so they already got it. Somehow, some way, they already know the guys that are going to fit in here. And to tell you the truth, to fit in here, you just gotta care about winning. That's the number one thing. Try to win in that championship, and we got a group of guys that want that night in and night out every single day. There's only one goal in our mind, and that's to win it. We haven't done anything. We haven't. We can't get excited that we're up 2-0, because as good as it is to be 2-0, it could easily be 4-2 Boston. So we're going to come into it the same way, knowing that we got to be better and stay humble about it. We're not getting too high. You know, obviously, we're not going to be too low, but we're going to stay in the middle and keep playing basketball the way we're supposed to be playing.
I don't know, Jimmy, but I sure like being up 2-0. I don't know what the hell's going to happen the rest of the way. I think I know. But hell of a win, Eastern Conference Finals Heat. Now, the amazing, they're 10-1. They are 10-1 in these playoffs with, if I'm not mistaken, one overtime loss to Milwaukee, up 2-0 in this series now. Had an unbelievable third quarter last night. Outscore Boston 37-17. Absolutely wiped out that big old lead that Boston had. And then just a wild fourth quarter. Just a wild of runs back and forth. And the Celtics were cold. The Heat got cold. Celtics turned the ball over. Jimmy Butler comes up with some big plays. And the Dragon knocks down some big old jumpers last night. So all I know is Spo and Pat, how about that? How about your best player comes out and says, man, you come here, you learn how it works. You win. It's all about winning and nothing else, man. And Jimmy Butler was made for this team. Like, yep. He, the way he plays both ends, doesn't need 20 shots a night. Doesn't need, you know, to do it. Last night, you know, he didn't do much for most of the game till the end and had a big layup and hit some free throws. But for the most part, didn't, you know, do a lot. But his defensive plays were just huge that he made last night.
A lot of Jimmy's stuff doesn't show up in the box, you know, the box score. That's the difference also with him, because it's all defensive sometimes, where at the end of games he's taking over on one side of the ball or the other. It doesn't matter whether it's offensively or defensively. He just sort of takes over in that fourth quarter a little bit. And, you know, Goran Dragic having another big game, and Duncan Robinson finally getting off the schneid a little bit and hitting 6 3-pointers. It's nice when you see this team collectively play as well as they did in the second half. The first half, I mean, I just thought that they were flat. I didn't know what was going to end up happening. They were down 13 points at halftime. I thought that maybe it would be more like that in the second half too, because they just didn't look as upbeat. But Boston, the second half, they just fell apart.
Well, limb by limb. Spo made some good adjustments. His zone defense was right. Big help.
Van Gundy pointed that out too. He pointed that out on the broadcast by saying, I don't think he used it as much in the first two rounds, that zone as much. So Boston maybe didn't see it on tape as much. But man, that zone defense is crushing the Celtics right now.
Well, they didn't shoot well from three-point land.
Right.
Bam, of course, got inside and hit the highest percentage shots in that third quarter you can. Alley-oop dunks are about as high as percentage of shots
pretty
you're going to get.
Pretty good percentage, yeah.
That guy was unbelievable. So, hey, man, in a great position. I think people getting pretty fired up about watching this team with this group, which, by the way, they're really – I understand it's not the star power of the big three. I mean, of course not. But I will tell you, man, as a team, if you like just team concept, this is kind of a throwback. And I'm not even sold Pat Riley thought this was going to be this good. But this group, they still got their, to me, it's pretty clear that it starts with Bam, Jimmy, and Goran. But, boy, they got a nice group, nice supporting cast if we're working on some other guys. But it's been a lot of those guys come up with a lot of big plays and Bam's growth. And you can just go on and on. But it's a hell of a story, and they are having fun. And absolutely on a mission. 305-567-0056. We're going to have Mike Florio and Don Bailey Jr. Join us before the end of the show for our games coming up here and check in on the NFL with everything here in week two that we have. What do we got coming in, Zach, real quickly on the machine this morning?
Someone actually texted Jaylen Brown. It's a new nickname, Jaylen's Pants Go Brown. He choked at the end. He had two big threes for that team to bring him back into that game.
He had a wide open.
That wide open one, right. But he had two threes before that that kept him in there. If he missed those two, the game would have been over.
Yeah, it would have been over before. But
way
yeah,
over, right.
He got a great look. But they got, listen, they got outplayed in the second half in a big, big way. And I don't know. I mean, their coach comes out. Brad Stevens says, you know, we stopped playing. We got outplayed. I don't know what happened. I have no clue.
Not good when a coach comes out and says that, right? He has no idea what happened in the game. Another text that came in a little earlier said, we need to talk about more of the addition of Jay Crowder for that trade. Wow.
It's a great trade. Great trade for a guy. Yeah. I think everybody kind of thought the two guys that came in on that trade were really fit the defensive. I mean, they weren't just come in, take shots, and then give up more points at the other end when they were defending. Jay Crowder is a hard-nosed, plays tough, doesn't back down. He really, really is kind of the perfect guy that we just didn't talk about because he was kind of the second piece in there at the time. But he's been a huge asset. I agree.
And someone also earlier said, can we get a Lakers Heat championship, please? LeBron and Pat Riley front and center.
Oh, by the way, I mean, I've been trying
the
to
storylines, right?
Trying to stay away from that one, but that is like,
holy
come
moly.
On.
Right.
How about those guys, the Lakers? We're going to have their hands full with Denver, by the way. But that's going to be –
if
that
they
happens,
make it and the Heat make it, Joe, come on. The storylines that's going to come out of that.
That will be really, really fun to watch. Great. Big, big ratings here in South Florida for that one. Everything is going to take a back seat if that one happens.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care what day they play. If it's got LeBron – who was a big part of us winning two championships and getting to the finals in all 4 years, is back here and playing against this new team. Oh, I think most of the country would be, by the way, rooting for the Heat. I really do. I think most of the country.
Yeah, people love to go against LeBron. Everyone outside of L.A., right?
I mean, it's not two superstars, you know, and against this group where, I mean, people have had trouble really putting Jimmy in that category, although I think people – starting to have a lot more respect for his game since we've seen what he's done here in these huge games called the playoffs. So, what else you got rolling?
I wanted to read this one to you because this one earlier when we had Larry Bluestein on very early this morning and we talked and you brought up breaking away from the Florida High School Athletic Association. Someone said, what a macho tough guy Joe is. Guess what, Buckethead? No one's breaking away from anything. They're staying put.
Well, listen, I wouldn't do it. I've had it. I've seen this show. And it's just such a selfish thing. I mean, if you can't do it, it's kind of like you let certain kids go on a vacation and the other kids have to stay home. I mean, it's like, you can disagree. That's why we have these shows. But I really start thinking about developing something down here, make it, we got a lot of good teams. We got more good teams in this area than the rest of the state combined. That's just a fact. I give you three public and three private every day of the week in South Florida. But I would really consider putting it together. So everybody else is going to have a playoffs, and Dade County is going to come back and most likely Broward and just play for fun.
Right.
That's just what 18-year-olds
sure,
want to
sure.
do.
Right.
That just really excites them. But listen, if you don't, I mean, you can disagree and just say, shut up and do whatever you want. And I'd say F you back to you because I disagree. Totally disagree. Hey, I'll tell you who I don't disagree with. Well, sometimes. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk coming up here. We'll have him, and then we'll talk to DBJ, get to some of those matchups for Saturday night's nationally televised game between the Canes and the Cardinals. We're going to have all that stuff for you right now. One thing we all agree on, if you're active and you're playing either a team sport or individual sport, no matter what it is, no matter what age it is, we all get injured. And then the question is, we want to go to the best places so we can get healthy again. Well, we're lucky because we have one of the top sports medicine programs in the country. Miami Orthopedics and Sports Medicine Institute, ranked top 50 best orthopedic hospitals in the nation by U.S. News and World Report. I always like to start with that. And then I like to work in, it's Doctors Hospital in Coral Gables, the other name, in case you're wondering, are they the same? Yes, they're the same place. When people ask me, where do the pros go? I go, well, that's easy. Let me see. Our professional soccer team enter Miami, Miami Heat, the Panthers, and the Dolphins, at any given time, all have doctors from Doctors Hospital in Coral Gables. I mean, these guys, they put together a group of specialists for every part of the body, some of the best in the business. There's a reason so many high school, college, and professional athletes from around the country go to Doctors Hospital in Coral Gables, and professional teams, college teams, high schools, all trust Doctors Hospital. Listen, they've seen it over and over. Any kind of injury you had, you don't think they've seen it from athletes that depend on their livelihood to get healthy and get back out and have proper rehab and get back out quickly and play the sports they love the most and make a living? Well, you can see those same doctors. That's the great message here. Dade and Brower, you can see those same doctors that are working on all these top athletes. Just visit baptisthealth.net/ortho and make an appointment today for best sports medicine program right here in South Florida.
All right, we're going to jump out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline, talk to Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com in just a second, but 560 The Joe wants to see you at a Dolphins game at Hard Rock Stadium, courtesy of Dade County Federal Credit Union. Dade County Federal Credit Union, the preferred credit union of the Miami Dolphins. For more info, go to fincu.com. That's F-I-N-S-C-U.com. Want a chance to win those tickets? You can log on right now to WQAM.com. The home of the Dolphins is AM 560, FM 96.5, HD2, The Joe, WQAM, and streaming on the radio.com app. Good morning, Mike. How are you doing this Friday?
Doing great. How are you guys today?
Mike, we're doing great, man. And, you know, we always talk about these first-round picks and how good are they going to be. And I thought Joe Burrow was going to be really good, even with the Tua stuff. And Tua would have been the number one guy if he didn't get injured and all that stuff. I think Joe Burrow is going to be really good. And I just watch what he's playing with right now. A.J. Green is – anybody gives him an extension, he lost his fastball, Mike. It's gone. I thought Joe Burrow, with what he's playing with, he's got a chance to be really, really good. What do you think? Have you seen enough or you're not sold yet?
Well, here's what I saw that's more important than anything else. I saw growth from Sunday to Thursday night. You always wonder, especially without the benefit of a preseason, what kind of changes we're going to see from a team on a short week to start the year. And I actually saw positive developments from both the Browns and the Bengals. And Joe Burrow, if you watch the game against the Chargers, he had several moments, and I hesitate to say this, but it's my accurate assessment, where he reminded me of Jameis Winston when Jameis would try that thing where his brain wants to do it, but his body won't comply, and he's going beyond his abilities and trying to do too much. There were three moments like that for Burrow in week one where he was just way too reckless with the ball. He had an ugly interception where he was trying to improvise and throw a shovel pass, and he threw it right to Melvin Ingram of the Chargers. But there was none of that last night. Last night, he was within himself from, you know, the standpoint of doing what he's capable of doing. He threw 61 passes, completed 37. It was a rookie record for a single game in completions. The only thing I worry about with Burrow, and he's downplaying it for now because, you know, he's young and it doesn't hurt him the way that it eventually will, he gets hit way too much. Whether it's when he's running the ball, whether it's when he's behind the line of scrimmage, he's got to learn how to avoid contact because sooner or later he's going to end up getting injured. And you just can't take that much physical abuse at the NFL level and expect to be okay.
Mike, the Cleveland Browns look like they might be a running team. Do they have a better 1-2 punch at running back or at wide receiver at this point?
Without question, at running back. And That's one thing that I picked up watching the Browns-Ravens game week one. If they had just stuck with the run, they would have kept that game closer, and they may have won that game. Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt were getting it done week one against the Ravens, and the passing game wasn't there, but they kept going to the passing game. And that's the problem of having so many expensive players on your team in those positions. You feel compelled to use them. They spent all that money on tight end Austin Hooper. They've got all the money they've invested in Odell Beckham Jr. They've paid a lot of money to Jarvis Landry. You have to use those guys when the reality is, you know, if you can run the ball effectively and the defense can't stop you, there's no reason to throw. We saw the 49ers carry that to a Super Bowl berth. Once Kyle Shanahan got a little freaked out by Jimmy Garoppolo throwing some near misses in the playoff game against the Vikings and just decided, well, if they can't stop the run, let's keep running. That's what you should do. That's the formula for winning. And when you look last night at the stat lines for Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, you would think that's how someone's number one tailback performed in a game. No, it's two guys performing that way. Both guys had more than 100 yards from scrimmage. They each had two touchdowns apiece. I think that that is the key for this Browns team to finally turn it around. And that's one of the reasons why I'm a firm believer they need to trade Odell Beckham Jr. Because that constant pressure to get him the football and whether or not he's going to be placated by how many targets he gets, it's not worth it. You don't need that. And I still believe it, even though he had a decent night last night and had a touchdown catch, I think that they should trade him because it takes away from what I think their strength should be, which is ground and pound.
Mike, it's a great point. We always laugh about this. There's only one football, and it's going to be difficult. They're clearly that 1-2 punch at running back. And I was thinking the same thing, because you know Odell's looking when he gets in there at targets. Hell, he knew how many targets he had. You see, he's only getting 4 or 5 balls thrown to him or 6 footballs thrown to him. There's no way he's staying happy, right? Especially if they lose. He'll put up with it if you're winning. But if you're losing, you're going to have a guy that's just not going to be happy. I don't know how they're going to do it with all these weapons.
But that's the key. They have to win. If they win, he can't say anything. If they lose, then he can say plausibly and in his mind something he fully believes, hey, look, we would be winning if they would throw me the football, period. So they're not throwing me the football. We're not winning. In his mind, that's the connection. If they throw me the football, then we'd be winning. When that's not the truth, this team is going to win if Odell Beckham Jr. is a complementary player, not a key player. And the question becomes, is it worth the financial investment to have Odell Beckham Jr.? I think they should trade him to the Patriots at some point before the trade deadline. I think that's the place he's wanted to go for most of his career. And it just feels like that's the only place where they could maybe get him to fully buy in to doing things their way and not worrying about how many times he gets the football and not, you know, he needs a quarterback he can click with, and he doesn't click with Baker Mayfield. Maybe he would click with Cam Newton. We know he would click with Tom Brady. And if Tom Brady was in New England, I think it's even more likely he goes there, but there's no reason for Odell Beckham Jr. to be in Tampa Bay. But I think in New England, it would make a ton of sense.
Since you brought it up, the Patriots, what were your thoughts, Cam Newton? I was a little surprised. I think he's going to run that much. Talking about teams running for over 200 yards. What do you think about Cam Newton, that little read option that kind of helped that whole running game? Just Dolphins couldn't stop it in either half.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I had not watched the game when Bill Belichick said Monday that, because he was asked about how many times Cam Newton ran, and he said, well, you know, those were all option plays, and sometimes the run's there and sometimes it's not. But I watched that game, and I tracked it and counted it all up. There were 7 designed runs that weren't option plays for Cam Newton. He ran the ball 6 times out of an option look and handed it off or pitched it the other 7 times out of 13. So 7 designed runs, 6 option runs, 1 scramble, 1 kneel down. That tells me that the designed run is still a big part of this offense, and it'll be interesting to see if the Seahawks commit enough resources to the line of scrimmage to take away the option to cover both the running back and Cam Newton, and whether or not Newton can take advantage of that down the field with the weapons they have, or more accurately, with the weapons they don't have, which is all the more reason for them to want Odell Beckham Jr. if they can get him.
All right, you brought up Tom Brady before. Bruce Arians kind of called him out after the game, after that New Orleans game. What did you think about that? I don't think we've ever heard publicly, right, that Tom Brady getting lashed out like that by his head coach.
Well, it was jarring because we've never seen that from Bill Belichick. He doesn't do that with any of his players. But here's the reality. The moment Tom Brady signed on to play for the Buccaneers, he knew or should have known that that's what he's going to be dealing with, that that's who Bruce Arians is. He's been that way his whole life. It's one of the reasons he didn't become a head coach until 2013. He doesn't play the game. He doesn't kiss butt. He's not going to say the politically correct thing, at least as it relates to, you know, publicly, am I going to pull punches if I think somebody stinks? No, I'm going to say I think somebody stinks. And look, if you can't take it from a guy in his late 60s who's riding around in a golf cart at practice, how are you going to stand up to the pressure you're going to face on game day? So I think it's a non-issue, and I think it's something that if Brady is surprised by it, he shouldn't be, because he should have known from the get-go. And I'd like to think that Arians was smart enough to say at some point during the courtship of Tom Brady that I'm going to have to call you out like I'd call anyone else out, because that's what I do. And if I don't call you out, then I'm going to be playing favorites, and that's not going to be good for the team.
Mike, I want to ask you something a little bit away from the players, the announcers. It is amazing to me, because we talk about it sometimes, Monday Night Football announcers seem to be under a different microscope than everybody else. Even with their first team, and even Herb Street getting it, and a lot of people love Herb Street and want Herbie up there to do Monday Night Football. I don't think those guys that are doing it right now are bad at all. I think Greasy's really good. But it's incredible the amount of people that really dislike whoever they put in there on Monday Night Football. They seem to be under a different set of rules. Do you find them to be that bad through the years?
Well, here's the problem. And it's funny, because most of the people complaining now weren't football fans when the standard was set for Monday Night Football, but it was Howard Cosell, Don Meredith, and Frank Gifford. And that was a magical time in sports television. And Monday Night Football has been trying to live up to that. Now, when it was Al Michaels and John Madden, you didn't hear a whole lot of complaints. So that's another thing that Monday Night Football has been compared to for the last 14 years. But the reality is, in 2006, Monday Night Football became a cable property, not a broadcast property. So it became the old Sunday Night Football. It wasn't a big deal anymore, but it still got the title that exudes big deal. Here's what you need to watch. 2022, that's when I believe Monday Night Football will be back on ABC. That's when I believe they will break the bank to hire Peyton Manning. That's when I believe they will move heaven and earth to try to get a guy like Al Michaels back, or some high-end play-by-play announcer to go along with Peyton Manning. And then all of a sudden, Monday Night Football is not going to be criticized. The booth isn't going to be criticized, and that's just the way it's going to be. But I think that's where it's heading. And I saw Chris Russo. He made a pretty good criticism, and it's not really a criticism, it's an observation of the main Monday Night booth of Steve Levy, Louis Riddick, and Brian Greasy. You can't distinguish the voices quickly between Riddick and Greasy, so you don't know who's talking. And you need, I think you need to factor that in to your selection of, especially a three-person booth. You need to be able to tell the difference between the two analysts instantly in the way they speak, whether it's, you know, the pitch, the speed, right. they their voices sound too similar, so you have to focus your brain on which guy is this.
Mike, Cam Newton ran kind of all over the Dolphins last week in that defense, 217 yards. The big bad Bills and Josh Allen coming to town this week. What do you expect to see from this game between the Bills and the Dolphins?
Well, here's the thing that Josh Allen does. I mean, yes, he runs the ball very effectively, but he is prone to that boneheaded mistake. He had an ugly fumble early against the Jets in week one. He had another turnover. I just think that's something he's never going to completely be able to iron out. But the Bills have that vibe of a team that is going to pick up where they left off from last year. Now, the question is, we don't know how bad the Jets are. It could be that the Bills got the easiest game of their year right out of the gate. So I just think that, and I don't know how you guys feel about it. I'm sure you've talked about it a time or two, but if Tua Tagovailoa is healthy now, and he wasn't on the injury report at all this week, and you know, he's not getting treatment on that hip anymore, why don't you just play the guy? Just play him. That's why you drafted him. Get him on the field and let's see what he can do. Let him take his lumps now. Let him learn now, like Joe Burrow is. Joe Burrow is losing and he's pissed off about it, but all these reps are making him better. Tua Tagovailoa is not going to get any better standing on the sidelines watching Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think they should throw him into the fray and see what he can do.
How about Thursday night, Jacksonville? Can you wait a few days maybe for that, if that is the case, maybe?
You know, it's funny because early in the season, football's like pizza. Like, even if it's bad, it's still good. But I saw those promos last night for Jaguars Dolphins next week, and I'm thinking, oh boy. But it's still football. And right. Hey, the Jaguars, look, the Jaguars beat the Colts, and
yes,
you know,
did.
If the Dolphins can stay close, and the Dolphins didn't get embarrassed by the Patriots. So, you know, I'm not ready to write off Miami this year. And, yeah, maybe a little Battle of Florida next Thursday night will be worth the price of admission.
Wait, hey, Mike, you don't like the Ryan Fitzpatrick and the Gardner, you know, like that kind of matchup that they're promoting? I saw those commercials last night. That's sexy.
Listen, we had a conversation this week. Now, Baker Mayfield was a lot better Thursday night than he was on Sunday. But we had a conversation about whether or not Gardner Minshew would be a better option for the Browns right now, that if you flip Mayfield and Minshew, are the Browns better off? And we came to the conclusion, yes. I don't know what got into Baker Mayfield last night, where he just had a different look, a different demeanor. He had a spring in his step. I don't know whether it was this idea that he wants to, you know, he's got a measuring stick with the guy who was the first overall pick in the draft. And, you know, he was very engaged in watching Joe Burrow, and maybe that brought more out of him. You'd think that being on the same field with the NFL's MVP from last year, who was the number 32 pick the year you were the number one pick, would have a factor, would have an influence in it. But nevertheless, I think Minshew's got a ton of potential. He was 19 for 20 last week. But I think it's easier to sell Tua versus Minshew than Ryan Fitzpatrick versus Minshew. And I love Ryan Fitzpatrick, but when you've got the guy who's you've got the Ferrari that's just sitting in the garage, with each passing week, more and more people want to see that thing out there on the track.
All right, Mike. Listen, man, great having you. Really appreciate you spending some time with us, man. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, man. See you.
All right, Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com joining us on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline.
I started to get that Adam Gase thing in, and I just said, poor Adam, man.
I was waiting.
Rough week for Adam Gase.
Wait a minute.
Gase,
I was excited for you to drop the Jacksonville game when Tua brought up. I couldn't wait for you to say that. You've turned a corner, man.
Listen, man. He's just, he needs an, I don't want to throw him out there against Buffalo.
That's fine.
We'll see.
I'm week to week.
I'm looking at everything. I'm looking who you're playing with, your line.
But once you go, you go, Joe. But wait a minute. Once you go, you go. So, you know, you can't just look at Jackson and say start him one game and then take him out. Once he's in.
I agree. I know. I'm not, what are you going to play mind games with the kid? No.
No, that's what I'm saying. So if you're ready to put him in, you're ready to put him in for the season.
I just don't. I think the team doesn't think he's close to being mentally ready to play yet. Mentally.
Yep.
I didn't say physically. I don't think they think he's mentally has picked up enough. I might be wrong. Hey, I'll tell you what I'm not wrong about. DBJ's going to join us. And I want to tell you about your South Florida Chevy dealers. You know what? Get out this weekend. If you're starting to look around for something new and you want some new looks, spend a little time at your South Florida Chevy dealers. I'm just going to go through the whole family here. Suburbans and Tahoes, that's for the big family. I feel like I just went on vacation when I said both of them, the Tahoe and the Suburban. I think I just saw you in Key West or on your way to Orlando having a great time with all that space and the whole family comfortable. Well, listen, it's not just that. It's about Silverado trucks. A lot of people have had to make adjustments in their lives for work, and a lot of people need trucks right now. That's why we got the Chevy Open Road Sale event going on, and we got plenty of Silverado trucks with fantastic deals, and we have absolutely the perfect truck for your lifestyle. You're going, well, I need extra room for the kids. Great, we got it. And I need it to work for me too. Got it. Listen, Silverado, durable steel beds and ready for you. But how about the Traverse, the midsize SUV? A lot of people are looking to downsize on the SUVs. We think ours is as good as anybody at your South Florida Chevy dealer. Spacious enough to accommodate the big family, yet doesn't compromise any of the style. And that Equinox SUV, our smaller SUV, got everything you need. And the 2020 Chevy Blazer, I think it's the best looking Blazer I've ever seen. And one of our top SUVs because it is so stylish looking. Hey, find out for yourself. I can't tell you about the whole team. I can mention I saw a Chevy Corvette blow by me yesterday and a Camaro blow by me, and they look so nice. Take a test drive this weekend. Get a deal that you're comfortable with at your South Florida Chevy dealers. They're waiting for you. Dade, Broward, and Monroe County.
All right, Joe, heading back out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Canes Louisville primetime Saturday night, 7:30 kickoff. You can hear it right here at 560. The Joe and the color analyst and our buddy Don Bailey Jr. joining us here for a couple minutes before he gets on that flight and heads up for the game. Don, good morning. How are you, buddy?
He ain't going anywhere. He's staying home with daddy.
Oh, that's right.
He's staying home with daddy. Bad
I'm so
call
used
there,
to saying
Zach.
That. Right. I'm
yeah,
so used
bad
to saying
call,
that.
Man.
Right. He's staying home and going to do the play-by-play.
Yeah,
from
enjoy
the, stadium,
the baseball right. stadium. It's beautiful.
Right, right. Wow. Well, you're right, Joe. You're right. Good news is I won't be rolling in at 5 a.m. That's the good news.
Right.
You know what? I said the same thing. I was like, well, the bad news is I don't get to be around all those young guys. The good news is I'm on normal hours without jumping on a plane and everybody's salty and getting home in the middle of the night. Yeah, so. Hey, Don, let's break it down, man. I thought last week just being able to pound the ball, I'm with the coach. That was just fun to watch, and once they got it going pretty good. But we still got to balance it out, especially this week. What do you think?
No, Joe, I'm glad to hear you say that. You know, everybody was, where's the air? Where's the air? We're going to throw the ball, throw the ball. I'll take 337 a game for the rest of my life. I mean, that fuels my old school mentality that if you can do that, first of all, the guys that want to run the football the most are those offensive linemen. They don't want to get out of that groove, but hey, that part of it was great, and I'm with you. You know, Derek King is going to get better every week. The pass game is always a little bit behind the run game, and I think you'll see a big improvement this week on him. And the good news is that I like the way he takes care of that offensive line. Every time he got the rings, he gave them to the big boys. So he's got that part figured out.
Well, how do you grade out the offensive line last week? How do you think they played as a whole last week?
Well, you got to give them as a whole. You got to give them a passing grade on the run game for sure. But the other part of it is, I talked to Coach Lashley. He said none of the sacks were on the offensive line. Both were on the quarterback. So for a team that gave up 10 sacks in the opener against Florida, now mind you, a year ago the talent was a little different than UAB, to come out of a game with zero sacks, I think there's some great improvement. Both the tackles played a million times better last year, and that's because of experience on the left-hand side with Campbell. He looks like a different guy now that he's a sophomore. And then they bring in the Williams kid from Houston, and you can tell he's in his fifth or sixth year. And it made a big difference.
Did they make a change at left guard? Did I see their new guy starting the left guard this week or no?
Yes. Clark, who started from game two through the whole year as a true freshman last year at right guard, they've got him starting this week over Usman, who got the first start last week. So you're putting in 12 starts versus a guy that would be going on his second start. And they said the main reason is that Clark was out, you know, with injury for 10 or 12 days.
Hey, Don, the other thing is real quickly, sometimes you can't tell on TV, which is a problem. Did the receivers get separation in the few throws? There were a few thrown down the field where the safety had come over and almost made it look like they were doubled by the time the ball got close to the receivers. Was there any separation?
Joe, there was a couple, yes. I would say overall, no. You know, I think that there was – that Miami didn't get the separation that they wanted out of that, but there was a couple shots that they definitely were opportunities there, you know. And I think that we're realizing you're going to see a guy, you know, that can get separation in Tutu Atwell this week, you know, and we saw it last year when he came down here. But the receivers have – Miami has yet to find – the main guy, and without question, I think it's going to be a committee the rest of the season, or until somebody shows up, or maybe one of these younger guys step forward.
How do you think about the defensive line last week? Their play also, obviously, without Greg Russo, the big storyline going into the season, a lot of other guys had to step up. What'd you think of the D line last week?
You know, Zach, losing Russo, I don't think we've really spent enough time on that. That's a gigantic loss. I mean, you're talking about the highest drafted player possibly Miami's had in the last 15 years, you know, coming out of school. He would have been a top 10 pick, and losing him, then you start three new guys on the defensive line. And aside from the sack total, where UAB wasn't going to let them get sacked, is they hit the quarterback. They put pressure on the quarterback.
But the guy that jumped off to me was Nestor Silvera. And I felt going into the season, if Miami's going to be very good on defense, he's got to be very good at defensive tackle. And he chased the football better than he has. He got in the backfield better than he has. He was all over the place. So I think that he's the guy, if you can keep that motor of his running every single week, you got a chance to be pretty good on the defensive front.
Well, Blades and the gang are going to get tested. You brought it up, the Cardinals with Smith, yep, Fitzpatrick, and Atwell from Northwestern High School, who's getting a chance to play, you know, against his hometown there. They're going to be looking to hit some big plays, right? I mean, I'm expecting deep posts and takeoffs and deep crossing routes and one-on-one. Going to be a big test for them.
As deep as they can, that quarterback can throw it, is as deep as they'll run it. And, right, you know, everybody talks about Tutu Atwell, but there were the two other receivers, Fitzpatrick, and I only know the other guy's number. Those guys had 8 catches for 220, Joe. The other two guys that nobody's even saying anything about, last week, 8 for 220. And they run that play action deal off that outside zone as good as it is in college football. They really do. And I think there's the thing that I think is a misconception maybe for people down here is that Louisville team speed, they match up with Miami. Yeah. They've got guys that can burn it, and their running game is exceptional. They got a kid out of Titusville who was about 1,300 or 1,400 yards last year. And they're big play everywhere to go. And now they seem to have found a tight end that is helping their arsenal as well.
Hey, Don, I got to ask you. So I've been saying all week, this is a huge game for the program. I don't think they expected to be on national TV Saturday night game early, but under the circumstances of what's going on in college football and postponement and some teams haven't started up, they're the show, man. And I'm not just talking about for this team setting the tone for the ACC schedule, the recruiting, the whole works. You look at it as that big a game, and I don't want to say it's the season, it's not, but man, boy, it'd mean a lot to get this thing somehow get a win in Louisville.
It's a huge game for the University of Miami. I think they're 3-23 against ranked on the road. I mean, we haven't won against ranked teams on the road. So I mean, that's something that we've got to improve on, right? Then you start talking about national exposure, and I'm with you. I mean, this is prime time football. Period. No matter how they got there, no matter what the reason. You are on game day. The University of Miami is on game day. Right. Last time they did that, it worked out pretty good against Notre Dame. But I'm with you, Joe. This is a big football game.
Bradley Jennings, we talked about the linebackers that left school and who would maybe take over as that guy or that leader. And I know we had Manny on Monday, and he talked very highly of how Bradley played in that game. What'd you see from Bradley? And could he be the kind of answer there in the middle for the Hurricanes defense?
Yeah, I think from where he's come, being injured and not playing with any significant playing time the last 3 years, that he came out and led the team in tackles. That's what that position is supposed to do, and he did that. Was he a little rusty? Is he going to get better as weeks go by? Yes, but he's physical enough. He's fast enough. He's quick enough. From when I watched some of the game, he reacted like he was supposed to. He was a little rusty, but that's going to get better. But I think the thing about him that people don't realize is that he's critical of himself. He wants to get better every single week, and I think that's what's going to help him improve the most. But for him to step in and replace a guy that was a 52-game starter and 350 tackles, he came in and did a nice job, and it helps having Zach McLeod beside him too.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, man, we this is going to be fun to watch. I like everybody, hope it's a nice, clean start, and they're able to get some things. Where do you think they can attack the most before we let you go, Don? What's an area, as you look at Louisville from last year and this year, and I know it's off just one game, where's an area that you feel good about Miami?
Miami's offense, you got to stick with the run. I mean, if it worked that good last week, you got to make sure that you try and get that thing clicking again this week. I think you got to find the tight ends. You know, if the defense is going to let you do that, you've got two guys that are certainly capable. of that. But the strength of this team coming off of last week was the ability to run the football, your quarterback not throwing interceptions, and three running backs. I say three of them because all three of those guys were very, very productive. And defensively, those defensive tackles, you know, they're the ones that can really shut down that run, and they got the fastest route to the quarterback. Both those guys should need to have a big, big day for Miami.
Hey, Don Mallory called me. He's very hungry this week. He just felt he was real hungry when he left. He's very hungry this week. Thank you, man. You take care of yourself.
I hear he can eat a Big Mac in four bites, just like you, baby.
I'm going for two of them today. I just told those guys during the break. They go, right. You really going to McDonald's? I go, yeah, I'm going for two, man. It's Friday.
Yeah, you're ready for the weekend.
Why not?
Man.
Don, thank
you,
buddy.
Need a protein for your tennis match.
That's right. Plenty.
Thank you, Don.
The carpet man.
Don Bailey Jr. joining us here before the big game on Saturday night, 7:30 kickoff. You can hear it here on QAM.
I'll tell you what, it's a bad time to be stuck in your house. It's a great time with all these sports that are going on, man. Enjoy your weekend. We'll have a lot to talk about on Monday morning for sure. Levy and Stugatz are coming up next. Have a great weekend, everybody.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.